got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. 'Cause everybody's got a right to live.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. That is music from a rally at First United Methodist Church in Madison following Saturday's march on the state capitol coordinated by the Poor People's Campaign. That's a national call to action in dozens of states to focus on people impacted by poverty and injustice. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Petter Johansson is Outreach Development Coordinator for Triangle Community Ministry in Madison and co-chair for Faith and Moral Outreach with the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. Petter, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me and thanks for sharing our story.
Yes, and we also have Reverend Liz Theo Harris, a Milwaukee native and executive director of the Kairos Center for Religions, Rights, and Social Justice at Union Theological Seminary in New York, also co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign. Reverend Theo Harris, welcome to the Ideas Network. Welcome back to Wisconsin.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you, Kate.
Well, let's start with you as you spearhead the nationwide effort, Poor People's Campaign, holding events before 30 state houses, including our state capitol in Madison. What is your message you are trying to deliver to state lawmakers?
Well, poverty is the fourth largest cause of death in this United States of America, one of the richest countries in the history of the world. And right now we're in an election season, we're in congressional seasons, and yet the word poverty or the word poor and the issues of low wages and healthcare, our failing education system, and so many different programs that need to be there to lift the load of poverty are either being cut or already have been eliminated. And so what we're trying to say is that poverty has to be at the forefront of our political agenda and our political landscape, that it's immoral and wrong to have 135 million people in the United States, more than 2 million in Wisconsin, who are poor or one emergency away from absolute economic ruin. When we have the wherewithal, when we have the policy ideas, when we have the resources to actually abolish poverty. And so we have to abolish poverty being one of the leading causes of death, and we have to put it at the center of our political landscape, including in this election season right now.
I think what you're describing and the words that are sometimes attached to this campaign is that it's calling for a moral revival. Can you talk more about what morals need greater priorities? What morals need to be uplifted in this nation?
Well, thanks for this, because this is exactly this is exactly the point. Right now, the real moral and constitutional values that need to be in the forefront of our nation are expanding healthcare, are lifting from the bottom so that everybody can rise. You know, letting families be able to thrive and not just barely survive. I mean, the issues that our faith traditions and our Constitution speak to are about freedom and democracy and justice for all. And so we're talking about the fact that we need a moral revival. You know, for too long now, people have been relegated to a position of not having dignity in work, not being able to have the food that they need for their families, not having an adequate place, a roof over their heads. And this is wrong. This is wrong in the kind of history of our country. This is wrong to our different faith traditions. You know, I'm a Christian pastor. This is the season of Lent. Lent is about turning away from injustice. It's about fasting from inequality. And so we need a kind of moral revival that will, reach back into those great, values of love and truth and justice. And the idea that we can indeed address systemic racism, abolish poverty, and be able to save the earth and everything that's living in and on it.
Petter, you were at the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign March and Rally in Madison Saturday. What issues in the campaign are percolating, are most relevant to Wisconsin voters?
Yeah, we had a great day on Saturday, really good turnout. And, you know, one of the things that I love about this movement, it's a moral fusion movement. And what we mean is it includes everybody. It includes all these issues. Reverend Theo Harris mentioned a little bit about this, that, you know, the people that are impacted by poverty are dealing with all sorts of issues and all sorts of problems. And these are things that can be fixed with policy. And so we had people showing up talking about women's rights. We have people showing up talking about healthcare and voting access and all of these issues that are affecting individuals and families that are living in poverty. I think as far as Wisconsin goes, healthcare is a big issue. I know this is a big issue nationwide, but particularly with Medicaid. You know, Wisconsin is one of the only states left in the country that has yet to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. We leave millions of dollars, federal funds, on the table every year when our legislature refuses to expand Medicaid. And they seem to be doing it purely for partisan and political reasons. 70% of Wisconsinites that have been polled on this want to see Medicaid expanded, and yet it just continues to languish in the state house. And so we're really pushing hard on that. You know, and when we saw during the pandemic, we had these programs that, you know, expanded Medicaid in some ways. It expanded some of the programs that help people with housing and with food. And we saw poverty decline. People were lifted out of poverty, including children. And when we declared that the pandemic was over and the funding ran out for those programs and we started to close those things out, we've seen people fall back into poverty. 17 million people across the country have been disenrolled from Medicaid since the unwinding. And 70% of those are for procedural reasons. They would still qualify. Here in Wisconsin, that's 268,000 people have been disenrolled from Medicaid. And roughly 4 in 10 of them, as far as states that break this down by age, 4 out of 10 of these people disenrolled are children. And so this is really a big issue. It impacts everybody. I think everybody, regardless of their economic status, understand that access to healthcare is a real problem and the way that it is covered and paid for. So we're fighting hard for that. Voting rights is a big issue as well. Wisconsin used to rank very high in access to voting. I think we're currently 47th by some measures, 47th in the nation as far as having access to voting. And so we're pushing hard for that as well.
That is Petter Johansson, co-chair for Faith and Moral Outreach with the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. We also have Reverend Liz Theo Harris, who is a Milwaukee native, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A multi-state social justice movement seeks to call attention to the poverty crisis. The Poor People's Campaign delivers a policy agenda at state houses across the country, including Madison. Co-chair Reverend William Barber says the campaign is launching its largest voter mobilization in history.
We're not beating up on poor low-wage folk because the number one reason they say they don't vote is nobody talks to them, and that's true. But what we're saying is if they won't talk to you, it's time to make them hear you.
Be part of this discussion. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Reverend Liz Theo Harris is co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign. Petter Johansson is a faith organizer with Wisconsin's movement. Reverend Liz, the Poor People's Campaign is trying to mobilize millions of poor and low-wage workers ahead of November, and the campaign says turnout among these voters is typically 20-22% below average voter turnout. What would help more people and help more low-income people vote?
Well, Kate, you know, there's almost 2 million poor and low-income voters in Wisconsin, 39% of the electorate, right? I mean, that's a huge block of people. And yet, as you said, folks tend to vote at a lower rate than higher income voters because we don't hear the issues that, you know, impact us the most. The candidates are not putting forward their proposals for living wages and for healthcare and for, you know, better funding for our schools. In fact, somehow almost the word poor has almost become a four-letter word in our political vocabulary. So if and when candidates start talking about these issues and the kind of policy solutions that exist to actually lift the load of poverty and address the issues, what we have seen is that people do tend to come out and participate in elections at a higher level. And if poor and low-income voters were to vote at similar rates to higher income voters, we could, you know, sway election outcomes in every state. We could shift the entire political landscape. And so we are reaching out to millions of poor and low income, what they call low propensity voters, folks that are less likely to vote, you know, there's because of voter suppression, because of the lack of transportation, because of other kind of barriers to voting that particularly impact poor and low-income people, but also because we're not hearing the issues, that we're not having politicians kind of call our name, and poor and low-income people are seeing the things that they need to see to understand that we can all have an impact on this democracy, and mm-hmm. and indeed we can elect politicians that are interested in passing policies that help you know, your average person, including poor and low income people. And so, you know, we're doing that kind of outreach. We launched on Saturday, you know, this most recent 40 weeks of reaching out to people and mobilizing and organizing and registering and educating people for a movement that votes around issues like healthcare, like living wages. You know, we say in our work that our votes they're not just support, they're demands. They're demands for the kind of issues that could lift the load of poverty.
Petter, I want to make a connection as we heard Reverend Barber there in saying that they don't listen to you, they don't talk to you, and that has a connection with that voter apathy. And I just want to ask you about the invisibility of poverty and how that blends into the political sphere and influence. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And you raise a really important issue. I work with a nonprofit that serves the Triangle neighborhood in Madison, Wisconsin. It's the second largest subsidized housing development in the state. And it's so interesting. It's right between South Park, Regent, and Washington. So if people familiar with Madison know exactly where that is. And yet, even in Madison, people are unaware that there's a neighborhood back there and that there are people living there. And so it really, that invisibility is very real, for sure. You know, folks that don't have to deal with the issues of poverty can live their lives happily and be unaware of just how challenging life is. In my neighborhood especially, there's a lot of folks that are dealing with disability. A lot of folks are dealing with mental illness and other challenges that simply get in the way of thriving in their life. And that apathy is real. You know, a lot of the folks that I know there, they do pay attention to politics. They are engaged as voters. But then when we talk about candidates, sometimes there is apathy because they don't hear their challenges talked about and they don't hear their issues talked about. And Reverend Theo Harris mentioned that, right? That we don't hear enough about poverty and the poor when we hear our politicians talk. You know, this is 40% almost of our electorate and they're often ignored. And so candidates need to do a better job. And we'll work with anybody. You know, we're not a partisan organization. We'll work with any side of the aisle that wants to lift these things up. And we believe that these are moral issues that should apply to all of us and that we should all care about. So it's not about right or left. It's about right or wrong.
Petter, it makes me wonder, as you spent more than a decade as a pastor, also here we are with Reverend Theo Harris, what role does religion have in this moral issue of the poverty crisis?
For sure. I'm also a Christian pastor, and so I come from the same tradition as Reverend Theo Harris. But, you know, across the board, I mean, most of the world, well, all of the world's major religions, poverty is a central issue. Caring for the poor, caring for the vulnerable, standing with those who are marginalized and oppressed, standing in solidarity and being part of making this world better. You know, that's at the core of who we are as people of faith. And so, yeah, for those years in the pulpit, I would bring this up often and just remind our community that this is who we are. And this, we don't really have an option. This is what we have to care about, right? This is the promise that has claimed us and the promise that we have made as people of faith, as God's community in the world. And so it really should be a driving factor for all of the decisions that we make and all the actions that we take as a community of faith, and something that we should be talking about.
We are talking about the Poor People's Campaign. You can call in questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Reverend Theo Harris, what role do you think can faith leaders and congregations have in addressing this poverty crisis?
Well, when we look at history and we look today, you know, congregations, religious congregations are at the forefront of both meeting the needs of people when they are down on their luck or unable to afford the necessities of life, but also at the forefront of movements for change. You know, when we think about something like the March on Washington in 1963, you know, there were tens of thousands of people of faith and from congregations that were there, you know, talking about jobs and freedom. I mean, that's what that was focused on. And even in less visible places, you know, whenever there are movements for justice. And yet somehow over the last decades, as extremists have kind of hijacked some forms of religions, including Christianity, all of a sudden it's that the real moral issues of our day are about who can marry who, and the idea that Jesus was a you know, card-carrying member of the NRA, and not that Jesus traveled around the countryside, you know, setting up free healthcare clinics, never charging a leper a copay. And so I think that, you know, so often what we're seeing, including in the Poor People's Campaign work across the country, you know, we had folks, as you said, in more than 32 states across the country in state capitals this past Saturday, you know, raising this issue that poverty equals death. And there were faith leaders and congregations that were mobilized in every one of those, and people across different religious traditions saying, you know, this is not the nation we want to live in. You know, this is not who our religious traditions teach us to be. You know, we indeed should, you know, follow, you know, religious teachings that say that we should lift the load of poverty, that we should lift from the bottom so everyone rises. We should cancel debt. We should pay workers what they deserve. We should make sure that actually the abundance of the world is able to reach every human being in the world. And so it's amazing to see the kind of faith leaders. Sometimes you don't hear about this as much, but there are congregations and faith leaders out there all the time, you know, both meeting those needs, but also calling our society to account about, you know, actually abolishing injustice and abolishing poverty.
Your words also, you know, bring me closer to that history of the civil rights era. It also makes me reflect on how, you know, President Lyndon Johnson launched the War on Poverty way back in the 1960s to, you know, eliminate poverty in America. And then here we are, our nation still grappling with this and why such a wealthy nation, we can't accomplish this elimination of poverty. Petter, do you grapple with that?
Absolutely. And I just keep coming back to this is a choice. You know, that's the reason why poverty still persists, because those in power, those who are making these policy decisions, are choosing for it to be this way. These systems are not broken. This is how the systems are designed. I mean, we're seeing that with a Medicaid disenrollment. It is designed to get people off of Medicaid. They're trying to make it challenging for people who need help to get the help that they need. And we have so much wealth, so many resources in this country. We can abolish poverty. We just need to have the will to do it. These policies that are keeping people poor, it's a form of violence and it needs to stop.
Well, Petter and Reverend Liz, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Reverend Liz Theo Harris is a Milwaukee native, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign. Petter Johansson is co-chair for Faith and Moral Outreach with the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.